This episode of The Breakfast Dish is brought to you by Alberta Blue Cross. Alberta Blue Cross understands that running a small business is tough, and they understand business owners in Alberta are busy. Let Alberta Blue Cross give you peace of mind with a group benefit plan. They offer health, dental, life, and disability coverage for your employees. Alberta Blue Cross group benefit plans are easy to manage anywhere, anytime, and on any device, making it easy for you and your employees to access. To learn more and explore your options, head to ab.bluecross.ca.
Tell me your dreams over bacon and eggs. We'll share a laugh and a story and even a wish on the breakfast dish.
I think I burped in the middle of that.
I also think that I burped in the middle of that, which is unfortunate. And I Welcome. Guess it's your fault, and it's genetic, and it's your fault. And this is how the episode's starting. There we go, everybody.
With our burping.
75, season 3.
Episode 75,
We've really
mother
done
and
it,
son.
Haven't we? Oh, my God.
Starting with burps. You know what
we
I've always wished,
no,
though,
we Griffin? Can't start like this. This is maybe one of our more high-profile guests.
Okay,
I can't
you're right.
start
we won't.
Like this.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome
I'm gonna leave
to episode 75 of The Breakfast Dish, this podcast that I host with my son, Griffin Cork. My name is Karen Johnson-Diamond. The two of us host this podcast in efforts of highlighting or amplifying or celebrating arts that are happening in Alberta and sometimes past Alberta. What else do I want to say, Griffin?
I don't know. We mostly know people in Alberta, so we just end up talking about Alberta the most. I guess you can apologize for burping because Griffin's editing this episode, and for sure it's all going to go in.
Oh, thank goodness. I thought I was editing it, so I'm glad you are. That's great. What I've always wanted to be able to do, son, I've always been able to burp on command. Like, I've always wanted to be able to, and I can't.
Can you not?
You know how people, like, swallow air and then they go, bleh? I've never been able to do that. Can you?
I can do that. You can't do that?
I can't do it. Do it, Griff. Show me. Show me how your mother raised you.
In front of Alex, I don't know if I want. Okay, one second.
I was tempted. Tempted by your smile.
I am stunned.
I really don't know if I'm going to leave that in the episode. I don't know if that's a great audible experience. That's nasty.
It's probably not. So
it's the worst kind of ASMR. Let's pretend I'm gonna guesstimate here, listeners, that when I'm gonna put in like 3 seconds of royalty free music during where I burped, but just trust that I burped. There's a band that I on the royalty free music sites that I go to a lot called the Hazelnuts, and they're like an a cappella all female group, and they're very good. And I'm gonna put that song in.
Okay. I was tempted by your
and then that's gonna be where the burp was.
Speaking of burping.
No. Come on. How?
I can do it. I can do it. I can do it.
I can do
Speaking
it.
Speaking of burping.
It. I have to learn.
Burping is a sound that comes from air in your diaphragm. Diaphragm is the muscle that most artists use in order to perform if they're vocal artists, like actors or singers.
Okay.
And all of those types of artists use the Arts Center, Calgary Arts Commons, to perform their art in many of the very different spaces at Arts Commons. And the man who is the complete Uber Lord Empire running, what's the word I want? Emperor? The Emperor of Arts Commons.
Uber Lord?
Is our guest today. Welcome, everyone.
Karen, watch out. Karen, watch out.
What?
Sorry, you were really reaching. I thought you were going to fall.
I was reaching. I thought that was a good one. Burp right. to diaphragm, diaphragm to actors, actors to arts commons to Alex Sarian. Welcome, Alex Sarian.
Thank you. You realize you could have just gone from burp to Alex. I could have saved you that journey. But it was impressive nonetheless.
Thank you.
It's episode 75, and we kind of figure out this show as we go along. I didn't know that we had to set rules, but I guess like if we can avoid relating our guests to bodily expulsions, that's kind of like maybe baseline for old Griff over here.
I like to avoid it.
To set the record straight, I cannot burp on command. So Karen, I'm with you.
And you just came from city council and they don't talk about burps there?
It's like a continuation of the same conversation.
Right. Just ask Griffin and I to come in as guest speakers one time. We'll get them off track.
Absolutely. Or back on track, frankly. That's right. This is the political segment of our podcast. They talk about burps too much.
Uber Emperor is what's going on my business card starting tomorrow.
And we'll be sending you an invoice for
Uber Lord Emperor
consultation.
I'm writing that
Uber
down.
Lord Emperor, yes. Tell us, Alex, what is involved in being the Uber Lord Emperor, all-seeing overlord of Arts Commons?
Terrifying.
Yeah, we're dipping into bad ones. Overlord's bad.
Can you? I'm going to use my educator phrase. Can you ask me that question in a slightly different way?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Alex, sir, would you be able to describe to us the responsibilities that go with your position at the head of Arts Commons?
I would. That's a great question, Karen. particularly phrased that way. So Arts Commons is... The easiest way I have to explain it to people, and it's sad that I have to do it this way, is so I moved here from New York City, and I spent the last 7 years at Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts. And I really don't say that because I want to name drop. I say that because, sadly, more people in Calgary know what Lincoln Center is than they know what Arts Commons is. And so the reason I start with that is because, first of all, they're like, ooh, you're from Lincoln Center, I'll pay attention. But second of all, I use that attention to pivot back to Calgary and say, the reason that's important is because Calgary has its own version of Lincoln Center. It has its own performing arts center that was actually modeled after Lincoln Center. So Arts Commons, in many ways, is a smaller Calgary version, no less impressive, by the way, but a smaller Calgary version of Lincoln Center in the sense that we are home to 6 resident companies. In the same way that Lincoln Center is home to 11, Arts Commons is home to 6. And we are essentially a one-stop shop for so many cultural activities in Calgary. Not all of them, by the way. There's so much more to Calgary's arts community than just Arts Commons. But Arts Commons is a facility, as a complex, as an ecosystem. We have 6 venues. And when we're firing on all cylinders, we have the ability to host 2,000 events per year, which in terms of volume is pretty amazing. So my job as Uber Lord Emperor is to make sure that all the users in the building, whether it's a resident company who's housed within Arts Commons, whether it's a community group that has access to our venues, whether it's a commercial producer who's in town touring a show, that they have a good experience. And the second part of my job is not only to make sure that our house is in order internally, but if we can get that right, it means that we can present a unified front to Calgarians so that anybody coming to Arts Commons has sort of a unified experience, whether they're going to see the Calgary Phil, whether they're seeing Theatre Calgary, whether they're going to the High Performance Rodeo, that there is this overarching Arts Commons experience which people have, which hopefully people associate in a positive way. So I guess to simplify, the first thing is to help define to Calgary this amazing thing they have and have had for almost 40 years. The second part is to make sure that internally we're operating as a well-oiled machine. And the reason we want to operate like a well-oiled machine is because if we do that, then we become an easier place to consume arts and culture for Calgary. So that's how I would describe what it means to be Uber Lord Emperor of this giant, I can't get over how great that title is.
It's never going to change. It is going to be on your business cards.
We're going to see a press release in 2 weeks.
We once had our past mayor, Nenshi, on as a guest star at Dirty Laundry, our improvised soap opera. And we were like, you're the mayor of Calgary. What kind of character do you want to play on stage? And he said, the emperor of the world. And that's what he was.
There's always bigger aspirations, and I love that.
Yeah, right? you gotta dream big.
I don't know if there's anything bigger than Uber Lord Emperor.
I don't think so. No.
I think more than one title into one title means it's the biggest.
That's like a Star Wars villain.
I love to hear you speak like that. I tell this story once in a while. I went to a show when Sage Theater was presenting a show maybe 12 years ago, and it was really popular because it was excellent programming. And I'm sitting in this little theater at the Pump House, the small theater, the Joyce Doolittle. And I hear two people behind me going, wow, I've never been in here. Oh, yeah, this is called the Pump House Theater. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's what it is. We're in one of the theaters in the Pump House. And then the person said, is there any other theater in Calgary? And this first person responded, yeah, the Jubilee. And I went,
Okay, I'm none of my business what you were talking about, but I'm completely eavesdropping. Let me spend the next 5 minutes of pre-show time before the lights go down telling you all the other theaters that are in Calgary.
I don't know the part of the story that you interacted with them.
Oh, I did. Oh. I did. I turned around and I said, there's this, this, this. And then I went home and couldn't sleep because I thought I've missed some community companies or something. You know, like I'm sure there was a million companies that I missed, but I have no idea whether they cared.
I'm impressed that you, because I oftentimes have conversations in my head when I hear people say stuff that I disagree with. And in my head, I get all righteous and I just set them straight. And then I go back home and I tell my wife, I was like, you're never going to believe what I heard today. And then I said this. And then she looks at me very caringly and says, did you say that in your head or did you say it out loud? And I was like, no, I said it in my head. So I'm impressed that you were able to actually get it out. And I'm grateful that you have the courage to do so, because I don't think that I do.
Oh, I'll always do it. I have neighbors in the community here in North Haven where I live, where and none of them are in the industry. And so they're always looking at me going, well, we want to go do a thing, but we don't know what are the things we should go thing. And I'm like, okay, well, I did this thing. I saw this thing and I watched that thing and you could see that thing, but you wouldn't like that thing. But not because they wouldn't like it, but just because I know them and go, that's not your cup of tea, that one.
So do they go to the thing?
They go to the thing. Good. And then they thank me after and say thank you.
We don't ask for much. We just want people to go to things. That's all we want.
It's so true. It's so, and there is so much. Okay, putting you on the spot. Name the 6 resident companies in the Arts Commons.
This one I can do. If you ask me about Lincoln Center, there's one I always leave out, and it's always a different one. So
I'll be asking that afterwards.
Who cares about Lincoln Center? I want Arts Commons.
So Arts Commons has the Calgary Philharmonic Orchestra. It has Alberta Theatre Projects. It has Theatre Calgary. It has Downstage. It has One Yellow Rabbit. And then it has Arts Commons Presents, which is our programming arm. So we have dual functions in that sense. So 6 resident companies under one roof, and then 200 community groups that over the course of any given year come in and out. I will not be naming the 200 community groups. So stop right there.
Dang.
But yeah, we don't have enough time. But those are the 6 resident companies.
Oh, that's really incredible, because I would never have said 200 more community organizations that use the arts. Because I was like, oh, well, you know, Fire Exit is a regular renter of the Engineered Air Theater, and the so-and-so usually does their shows in the motel, but I wouldn't have thought 200. I am so in love with this city right now.
Yeah, that's why we moved here.
So how did you get started at the Lincoln Center, and then how did Arts Commons find you? Or did you find them?
So nobody really goes into the arts, I think, ever with the ambition of saying, I'm going to work at Lincoln Center one day.
Sure.
You go into the arts because you love what you do. I got into the arts because I loved arts education. And so my background is in arts education. My wife is a drama teacher, taught in the New York City public schools for 15 years. And to make a long story a little less longer, my career path was always the director of education career path. And I feel like in New York and in the U.S., every major arts organization has a very robust arts education program. So my career ambitions were always, I wanted to be the head of education within an arts organization. And I had the opportunity of doing that, luckily, at a variety of organizations. The first one was at MCC Theater, an off-Broadway theater company, where, by the way, I worked with Stafford Arima, who's now the artistic director of Theater Calgary.
Oh, cool.
We worked on the revival of Carrie, the musical.
Whoa.
Amazing.
All right.
In 2011, 2012. It's almost 10 years ago. And that's an incredible experience. So one of the things I realized working in arts education within the context of a larger cultural institution is that in many, and this may be 10, 15 years ago, most arts organizations always assumed that the education programs are those that are hemorrhaging money out of the company and that are such an afterthought when it comes to their business. And I remember telling the executive director at the time, I was like, listen, if you can fundraise $2 million for a mediocre Neil LaBute show in the middle of an economic recession, there will always be more money in education than there ever is in the arts. And you don't have to do this by charging money. This is not about providing arts education for the 1%. But when you talk about providing arts education as a vehicle for making your arts more accessible and more relevant and more widely consumed, then there will always be more money in that side of your business. And I, you know, 3 years into that, my job there, I think I proved my point, because by the time I left, the education department was the single largest source of contributed revenue to the Off-Broadway theater company. And I had this aha moment where I was like, oh my goodness, we can develop a robust arts education program in a way that doesn't compete with the organization's mission and also actually contribute to the bottom line while bringing people for free to see these shows. As like, it's a win-win for everybody, literally. And at the time that I was having this epiphany, a former professor of mine was hired at Lincoln Center to oversee their sort of the redevelopment of their education initiative, which Lincoln Center is huge and it has a long legacy of building arts education around the world. And he said to me, listen, I need to hire a director of finance. And they're handing me all these resumes of like Harvard MBA students that are like super smart, but don't know the first thing about arts, don't know the first thing about education. And you've been straddling both these worlds. Would you consider coming to Lincoln Center and helping me rebuild our education programs? And I was like, you had me at hello. And and so the story there is we spent the first 3 years redesigning our arts education programming. In 3 years, we became the fastest growing department in Lincoln Center history. We grew our operations by 200%. We made Lincoln Center more accessible. We were doing all this stuff for free. And so that was the first 3 years. And then the next 4 years, I was able to, one of the benefits of working in a place like Lincoln Center is that it's so big, you can move around. So once we had rebuilt education, I was like, this is great. I really love building stuff. I don't love maintaining it, which is a good thing one should know about oneself. And so, I got the opportunity to move around Lincoln Center. And at one point I oversaw international consulting. At another point, I oversaw our first re-granting program. And then towards the end, I actually, my mentor, that person that hired me, moved on to another job. And I took over his portfolio, as sort of second in line at Lincoln Center, overseeing all these initiatives. So, you know, I'm sitting in New York and I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is amazing. Where does one go from here? At my age,
which is 29 and a half.
Yeah, I'm 12. For the viewers that
youngest
can't see me,
Uber Lord, we have yeah,
exactly.
In the kingdom.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I remember my wife and I said, okay, are we ready to leave New York? And that's an exercise and a conversation unto itself. And then we ultimately decided that we were open to it as long as it was for the right opportunity. And I had spent so much time at Lincoln Center that I started to appreciate and understand and respect the business model that comes with operating a performing arts center. You're not a dance company. You're not a theater company. You're not an orchestra. And I don't mean to imply that running those companies are simple. They're not. But there is a certain nuance to running a performing arts center that allows you to pull on different levers, allows you to look at different business verticals or business units. You know, you have to have a finger in the real estate pie. You need to have a finger in the programming pie. You need to have a finger in terms of, you know, being somewhat of a landlord. So it's a more complicated, you have a different relationship to the city that surrounds you. In many cases, you're overseeing property and real estate. And so I thought to myself, my experience at Lincoln Center was too good to be true, that I want to move away from it. And then as part of that exercise, I saw that Arts Commons was looking for a new CEO. The search firm reached out to me. You know, when one works at Lincoln Center, you are very privileged in the sense that you are on the receiving end of a lot of those phone calls. And there was something about the job that felt very familiar and very comfortable. And then it became an exercise of getting to know Calgary. And that to me was the most fun my wife and I had, is because, you know, Once I checked off the box for Arts Commons, and I was like, okay, this is cool. Lots of opportunities, lots of amazing work to be done. But do we want to live in Calgary? And we have fallen in love with Calgary big time. Yeah. So I'll leave it there. That's sort of the trajectory of how one goes from wanting to be a theater teacher to working off Broadway to then landing at Lincoln Center and then finding your way to Calgary. It's not a linear journey, but it's been super fun.
This episode of The Breakfast Dish is brought to you by Pod Power. With Pod Power, our sponsors are making it possible for us to amplify the voices of Albertans and Alberta podcasters. This episode, Edmonton Community Foundation is helping us give a Pod Power shout out to...
High Level Hip Hop. CJSR presents High Level Hip Hop. It's a deep dive into Edmonton's hip hop scene and the artists helping shape it. And the show takes a unique approach to introducing listeners to the OGs and young bloods of Edmonton hip hop scene. I shouldn't be saying that, but I am. It's scripted. The show is aimed at those who love local music, but might not have had a chance to fall in love with the city's surprisingly diverse hip hop scene.
Each episode features an interview with a local artist, plus a fresh track they recorded at CJSR. Check out episodes with Arlo Maverick, Please Be Nice, and more throughout the season. High Level Hip Hop is produced by CJSR, Edmonton's campus and community radio station. Download it wherever you find podcasts and at highlevelhiphop.transistor.fm.
Listen, I nail young bloods, but someone needs to teach me how to say OGs.
What is an OG?
I think it means original gangster.
Oh, that's me.
You kind of chatted about the difference between building and maintaining. And I know you guys are working on a kind of expanding Arts Common in terms of like building something. How has it been maintaining?
Well, so this is interesting because the first thing I said, so, you know, I want to give credit where credit's due. This project has been in the works for a very, very long time.
Right.
So even though we've gotten a lot of airtime and a lot of energy right now, this has been 10 years in the making. And what's been really interesting is, you know, when I started here 2 years ago, I said somewhat flippantly, I was like, guys, anybody can build a building. Anybody with the right checkbook can build a building. It's what the building represents that is fun. And I was like, that the physical building a new facility is not the transformation of Arts Commons. Arts Commons redefining its relationship to Calgary, redefining its relationship to the Indigenous community, redefining its relationship to digital technology, redefining its relationship to the local artist community. That's the transformation that we need to lean into. And if we get that right, then whatever we build will be the manifestation of what we've become. We can't wait for the, we can't wait to break ground in order to start talking about transformation. So we've been super busy building and rebuilding Arts Commons philosophically, programmatically, over the past 2 years in a way that honestly, if somebody called me up tomorrow and said, you know, we're taking the $240 million away, you're never going to get this new building. Calgary still has a new Arts Commons.
Yeah.
It's just, it's just the fact that we have the incredible opportunity to take who we are becoming and actually designing something around it, which few organizations ever have the privilege to do anywhere in the world. And for Calgary to be home to this level of thinking, and it's not my thinking, it's just like, and I talk all the time. My job is to surround myself with the right people and people that are smarter than me, and I just support them. Thankfully, finding people smarter than me is super easy. So I'm able to do that and just say, okay, guys, how do we come together and ask the right questions and engage Calgary in the process of answering them? So even though we've been closed to the public, even though the pandemic has wreaked havoc on the arts community, I'd be willing to say that I have done more building with colleagues and like building quote on like air quotes, philosophical building over the past 2 years than I have ever done in my career. And that's been an incredible, it's been super exciting.
I sometimes feel so guilty if I say, well, one of the advantages of the pandemic is, but it did give yourself and other theater companies in Calgary time to go, let's sit and build what we want to build instead of constantly catching up to what is before us. Does that make sense? I don't know. But every single person I've talked to at the Art Center about you, and obviously they start the conversation because you and I hadn't met before today, but Rohit at ATP, Stafford at TC, Claire at Downstage, all of them have said that their favorite thing now are these brainstorming meetings, these meetings that all of these people come together. Would you say it again?
We call them the kitchen table meetings.
The kitchen table meetings, yeah. And that's like, I feel like when you hear somebody excited and looking forward to a regular meeting with a bunch of other people, it's not always like that. That doesn't always happen. But the way they speak about you there is as respectfully as an Uber overlord emperor.
I want to, Uber Lord Emperor. Yeah. I'm just referencing what with my notes here. No, but there's a story. There's a story behind the kitchen table. So when I got here, I went on this 3-month listening tour, and one of the people I met was Sandra LeBlanc, who has I've been educated. I've been told that Sandra is one of the forces behind the creation of Arts Commons in the 70s and 80s. And I asked her, and I said, you know, Sandra, how did Arts Commons come to be? Because the Calgary Phil was here before it. Theatre Calgary was here before it. All these companies, many of them were here before him. What led to the creation of Arts Commons? Because mind you, Arts Commons was built in 1985 when the population of Calgary was 600,000. Calgary was tiny. Mm-hmm. And we're still the third largest art center in Canada and one of the largest in North America. And we're pushing 1.5 million people in Calgary right now.
Yep.
So the fact that in 1985, and even before in the 70s, when this was a twinkle in somebody's eye, the fact that somebody in Calgary or a community in Calgary said, you know what? We might be a town of 10 people, but we deserve one of the world's largest performing arts centers. That's talk about who we want to become, but let's talk about where we come from. And so I asked Sandra, I was like, Sandra, where did this idea come from? And she said to me, you know, she was a huge supporter and patron of the arts and a wonderful civic leader. And she said, you know, I would have the head of the Calgary Phil, the head of ATP, and then the head of Theatre Calgary over for dinner. And then after dinner, we would open up all these bottles of wine and we would go into the kitchen and we would sit around the kitchen table and we would dream about a future in which Calgary had a home for all these companies and then some. And she kept on talking about this kitchen table as a place where everybody would gather and just dream about the future and just, you know, level the playing field. And halfway through this conversation, I very rudely interrupted her and I was like, Sandra, this is going to be probably the most ridiculous question I ever ask, but are you still in possession of this kitchen table? Because if you are, I would like to buy it off of you and I would like to put it within the center so that we can rebuild that sense of coming around. And she looks at me and she was like, I just sold it.
Oh!
So no physical kitchen table, but our monthly meeting now, that's why we call them the kitchen table meetings, is because we're coming around this fake table that once upon a time gave birth to Arts Commons.
Does it at least have like a red and white checkered gingham cloth on it?
No.
No, I guess that would be the picnic table meeting.
That'd be too much.
This is so messed up. What do you meet around now? A freaking barrel?
Go back to New York. There's not even wine, although I'm sure that'll happen soon enough.
Absolutely.
Breakfast. At least breakfast have breakfast.
Wine. You know, breakfast wine.
Buns. Donuts. Donut meeting. Oh, I'm just getting hungry
donut
now.
Donut meeting. We haven't met for our donut meeting this week. Heads will roll.
Okay, I want to go back to something else you said. What do you love about Calgary? Like what got you excited about Calgary outside of the Arts Commons?
The simple, the easy answer is, it has all these things. I mean, it's just like access to nature. The food scene in Calgary is out of control. Outside of arts and culture, like the neighborhood, like it's just the you feel like you're in an internet, like you feel like you're in a cosmopolitan city on the one hand, but then it's also just a community, a collection of neighborhoods and communities. So there's so much to love about Calgary. The more complicated answer to your question is the fact that Calgary doesn't even know how great it is what attracted me to it. There's this disconnect. And I remember I was, and I'm going to share this story, even though I probably shouldn't, but this it's not like we're recording or anything.
No one's ever going to hear this.
Ignore my microphone.
Ignore the giant record red button on my screen. But I remember flying out here for the final interview, in December of 2019. And when it was becoming clear that I was a finalist or that it might be a good match, somebody pulled me aside very discreetly and said, you don't want this job. And I was like, wait a second. You're messing with me right now. Why would I not want this job? And they're like, well, because Calgary's on the down and out. We're going through the longest economic recession in recent history. It's not safe. Don't leave New York. So they read me the riot act and it scared me. And I remember it was a Tuesday night in December, December. And of 2019, so pre-pandemic, and my wife and I are self-diagnosed foodies, like we will travel the world for a good meal. And I had one night to myself, and I had read that Bar Vonderfels was a great restaurant before it closed during the pandemic. So I was like, you know what? After 10 hours of interviews and 10 hours of meetings, I'm going to take myself to Bar Vonderfels on a Tuesday night and just have a good meal. I walk up to Bar Vonderfels on a Tuesday night at 10 p.m. in the middle of the week, and I had to wait probably 40 minutes for a table.
Wow.
I then I walked after dinner, and by the way, had an amazing meal, walked down to 17th Avenue. Bars were hopping, and I was like, wait a second. And I went back the next day to the same person that read me the riot act, and I was like, listen, I don't mean to demean the hardships that people are going through, because they're real. But the Calgary that you described to me yesterday was not the Calgary that I saw last night. And what I found fascinating was the disconnect. And I said, listen, I grew up in Argentina in the 1980s, where economic recession was literally a matter of life and death. You would get shot down on the streets if you were seen walking with a wad of American dollars. I said, what I experienced in Calgary last night was not an economic recession. I've never lived here in times of boom, but if this is your bust, we're going to be okay. And again, I don't mean to undermine the hardships that people are going through, because they're real, but there's this disconnect between what Calgary thinks of itself and I think what Calgary actually is, let alone what it can become. And that's what really fascinated me about coming here and being able to be a part of Arts Commons at a time when Calgary was going through this really interesting identity crisis.
That's very interesting you say so, because I feel like that's the same attitude on a much smaller level, like when I was growing up in school, of just like all of my friends being like, I can't wait to get out of Calgary, man. Alberta is such a shithole. I can't wait. Like, oh man, I'm going to get out of here. And I feel like I've talked about this on the show before, but it's the mentality of like, when I go somewhere new, all my problems are going to be fixed. And it's just like, no, you'll just have different, maybe bigger problems in your new small apartment. Like it's, there is a weird attitude, or like, it's, you know, Calgary and Alberta have their problems, but I've traveled a lot and it seems pretty cool. Okay. Here.
But I will say but it's changing. I mean, in the short time that I've been here, two things have happened in the past month that have blown my mind. The first one is, you know, because I'm a newcomer and because I have the story of New York, I sit on all these panels about what, you know, who Calgary should become. And I'm like, I'm not the guy to talk on this panel, but I spent the first year and a half hearing people talk about Calgary through the lens of comparing it to somebody else. So like, oh, we're a smaller Austin, Texas, or, oh, we're this version of Toronto, or that we're this version of Pittsburgh, or like, for a year and a half, everybody talking about Calgary spoke about it in the context of comparing it to somebody else or some other city. And it wasn't until 2 weeks ago, I was at an event for the Calgary Chamber of Commerce, where we're not comparing ourselves to anybody else anymore. We're saying this is who we're becoming, and people are paying attention. And so like, to me, the big lesson is stop talking about other places and just like focus on what you want to do and focus on who we want to become. And look, people are paying attention. And in fact, the other part of the story is I was in Ottawa for the first time 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and people were literally walking up to me and saying, oh, you're the guy from Calgary. I've been thinking about moving out there and like starting a career in like arts management. And this is coming from Ottawa. And I was like, yeah, you should, because this is where it's happening. Yeah. So there's something in the air. And I don't know if it's like, I don't know if I'm biased. I don't know if I'm just reading the room wrong, but it just feels like there's something happening and people are noticing.
My husband grew up here in Calgary. I lived in Edmonton. I grew up in Edmonton. I started my acting career in Edmonton. I met Kevin as we were doing a show together and fell in love. And he wanted me to move to Calgary. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to move.
It was a showman.
Yep, it was. But it's 28 year showmans now. He said, just come
and
down
I'm
for the
damn stage manager.
Oh, that sounds so weird.
He took me to his five favorite places in Calgary. He said, "This I'm going to make you fall in love with the city." And at the time, he was already moving out. Like, he was in the theater community, and then he was moving out. But he just took me to restaurants he liked and places like views that he liked in the city. And the way he talked is the way you're talking now. Like, I love the city, and I want everybody to see it.
I think you're right that there's something in the air. And I think it's, you can kind of sense it in stuff like just like other things, even other than theater, right? Like there's a whole bunch of like
very huge film productions here all of a sudden. Yeah. And there's a lot more granting organizations, like specifically federally, that are looking at Alberta as like, oh, maybe it is worth giving these people a little bit of money rather than just Vancouver and Toronto and Montreal. Or, you know, popping up in all these like top 25 places to live in the world. Like just it's an idea of putting something on the map and like in a global kind of landscape language that is very interesting. Mm-hmm. I could talk about this literally all the time, but Alex has to go to another meeting in about 15 minutes. So Karen, you have to ask him about the dreams.
Okay. We have another Alex in our life, Alexandra Kalman, and she wrote the theme song for the Breakfast Dish podcast. And in that theme song, she sings, "Tell Me Your Dreams Over Bacon and Eggs." So what we've been asking all of our guests is, if you are a nighttime dreamer, if you retain your dreams, what's the weirdest one you had, or the most recent one you had, or the one that has stuck with you most in your life? Do you have nighttime dreams? Do you remember them?
Oh, I didn't know you were going to go this deep.
I know. Buckle up. You got to earn that Uber Lord staff.
Yeah, you got
around
15 minutes. We're going to mess with you.
anyway, good luck at your meeting.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to be rocking, you know, in a fetal position under my desk, sucking my thumb for the next 2 days. I would say the dream that there's a recurring dream, although it's not very often, that I'm standing in the wings of a theater about to go on stage for a part that I have not rehearsed.
You get an actor's nightmare dream.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
I love that.
Okay, yeah. I also kind of like that, which is maybe messed up for both of us
it's
to
not,
say
it's
so
not
exuberantly.
Great. It's not a great dream. Yeah. That's a great play. The actor's nightmare. Oh, is it the actor's nightmare?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's a great play.
And there's an improv game as such where everybody else knows the show, and then you bring on a guest star. That's like me having like CEO nightmares where I'm in charge of a whole building that I don't understand and I'm supposed to be doing all these things and I didn't do it.
That's my life every day.
I'm daydreaming right now. The Breakfast Dish is part of the Alberta Podcast Network, locally grown, community supported. The intro music you just heard and the outro music you're about to hear has been composed by Alexandra Kalman. All graphic design for The Breakfast Dish has been done by Morgan Ermter. This has been fun, and I wish I transitioned to this part better, but this part has to be said. Karen, what else is going on this week?
I'm going to tell you what's going on, not this week, but soon.
Just whenever.
Just so happens that at Arts Commons, that Alex is somehow related with, I can't remember how, there is going to be a production of Ragtime, a concert performance, and it's going to involve Theatre Calgary and the Calgary Philharmonic Orchestra, June 10th, June 11th, 2022. It's a world premiere of the new adaptation. So you can get tickets at artscommons.ca, and it's being presented in the Jack Singer, right?
Yes, it's a concert version. So for those of you that have seen like the concert version of Les Mis, this is a concert version of the Broadway show Ragtime, which is stunning. It's the world premiere because it's a Boston Pops orchestration that has never been premiered before. So we're getting to do it here. And anywhere the show goes, Calgary will go with it in terms of crediting. So be there. It's two nights only. It's going to be an incredible and featuring mostly Alberta Canadian talent. And for those of you that know the story about Ragtime, it's three communities coming together at the turn of the century in times of really challenging times. So it's super meta because you have three communities coming together and then you have Arts Commons, Theatre Calgary and the Calgary Phil working for the first time together in really challenging times, doing something that we could not have done if we had embarked on this by ourselves. So this idea of working together is the only way we'll bring stuff to Calgary and engage Calgarians and stuff that they nobody would ever see anywhere else.
Thank you very much for joining us on The Breakfast Dish, Alex.
Thank you. I've heard so much and about both of you, about the podcast. I'm a big fan. So to be on it is a privilege. Thank you.
And thank you, everybody, who has been tuning in for all 75 episodes, for all three seasons. As mentioned, this is the finale for season 3. Karen and I will be taking a little bit of a hiatus, and then we will be coming back. However, to celebrate, Karen, make me do the improv question.
Okay. At the end of every episode, because I'm a professional improviser, Griffin would ask me to just make up a question that you have to come up with a really fast answer for. But it's the end of season 3. So Griffin is also a professional improviser. 3, 2, 1, go, Griffin.
If you thought that you were going to bring up a breakfast food in your meeting next, what is the most likely breakfast food you would talk about?
Oh, me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like at your 4:30 meeting coming up.
You're the guest.
Yeah, hash browns. New York bagel.
Ah, okay. That actually makes sense.
Not a Montreal bagel.
No, New York. Because you've been to New York, so we have to hear you say something good about New York.
That's right.
Yeah. Montreal bagels are not real bagels. Mic drop.
Tell me your dreams of making it, eh? No, that's not
Griffin
the outro.
Saying, that's going to be the outro. You're going to say mic drop and he's going to...
Boom, da, ba, do.
This has been The Breakfast Dish.